I'm blessed to be here this morning. How are you guys?
Excellent.
I'm going to open up in another moment of just prayer. Can everybody just bow their heads with me? Lord, we just thank you so much for this time where we get to come together, Father, under your house and come into union and community with you. That's what communion is. Lord Jesus, that there isn't anything that can separate us from you, Father. There's no barrier too great, Father. I'm just praying right now that we submit, we bend our knee to you. Lord Jesus, bind the enemy. Speak to us clearly today. Lord, we give you all the praise, glory, and honor forever. Amen. Amen. So, what a beautiful Sunday, guys. I want to talk today about vision and mission. Vision and mission is something that is very important to keep in perspective. You see, God gave vision to people in Scripture. He gave vision of where he was going to take them, and then he gave them that sight, and then he gave them the mission on what to do and how to do it. Amen? So, with that being said, it's important for us to analyze our lives and also to where we're at and see what our vision and our mission is. If you're here today, I want to encourage you, strongly encourage you. I want you to, if you're taking notes, if you're going to watch this again, I actually got to, sometimes I'll watch Pastor Jeff's sermons and I'll take notes, you know, and if you're going to take notes, I want you guys, I want to challenge you, each and every one of you, to go home and get in your quiet place and to pray and ask the Lord, Lord, what is my vision? What is your vision for me? And what is your mission for me? Not just in this year, but in my lifetime. Amen? You see, this is very important because once you have these things in front of you, there's going to be opportunities that the world is going to bring you that's not going to align with your vision and mission. So that way you can say, hey, does this doesn't align? Okay, I'm not going to do it. Simple, right? So you got to ask, what is my personal vision and mission God has for me? You see, I don't want just Christian buzzwords, you know. God doesn't want you to retire, get old, retire, and go home and do nothing. Amen? Right? God has so much more for you. In fact, I want you guys to think about this. Moses, right? God had his hand on Moses' life, his whole entire life. Right? He had his hand on his life. But he was in Egypt for 40 years. And then he fled Egypt because he ended up in a fit of rage murdering an Egyptian that was abusing a Hebrew, a fellow brother of his, and he left and he fled. And you know how long he was in the wilderness? It was 40 years. So 40 plus 40 is what? 80. You cannot tell me, oh, I'm too old for God to use me. Moses was 80 years old when he led the children of Israel out of Egypt. And then he wandered the desert with the house of Israel for 40 more years. Amen. God ordained him. God strengthened him. And that's what God wants to do for you today. If you will just submit your heart and bend your knee to him and live your life according to his will and to his word. Amen. Amen. Amen? Woo. You see, God wants to give you a vision and a mission of legacy. Do you know what legacy is, church? Legacy is the long-lasting impact of particular events, actions that took place in the past or in a person's lifetime. God wants you to have a vision and mission of legacy because a lot of times we get so caught up in the here and now that we don't think about the next generation or in three generations from now. right? We just think here and now. God wants to start a legacy in your family. He wants to redeem your family line. Amen? He wants to give you a legacy of faith. And let's turn to Hebrews 11, 32 through 34. If you read this chapter in Hebrews, it is by faith. There's a lot of, it starts like by faith, by faith, by faith, Abraham, by faith, Joseph, by faith. It goes and gives this whole entire retelling. And eventually it comes to verse 32 and it says this, "And what shall I say? What shall I say further? For the time will fail me if I tell of Gideon, of Barak, of Samson, of Jephthah, of David, and Samuel, and the prophets, who by faith, that is, with an enduring trust in God and his promises, subdued kingdoms, administered justice, obtained promised blessings, and closed the mouths of lions. He extinguished the power of raging fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became mighty and unbeatable in battle, putting enemy forces to flight." God wants to put enemy forces to flight in your life. He wants to do that for you. And what that requires is faith. Amen? Let's look at John 14, 12. "I assure you and most solemnly say to you, anyone who believes in me as Savior will also do the things that I do, and he will do even greater things than these in the extent and outreach because I am going to the Father." This is a promise. This is a command that God has given us, right? So, are we going to be obedient or are we going to be disobedient? We need to have faith. Faith that moves mountains, right? And you know what? I love it in Scripture because there was a time where Jesus was doing a miracle and a man brought his son that was possessed by a demon, and basically it was horrible. This man tried everything to get his son help and nothing helped. Have you ever been in a situation and you feel like nothing is helping? Right? Well, he brought him to Jesus and basically he started to convulse and foam at the mouth, and basically Jesus said, "You know, if you believe, I can do this, I can do this." And the man said, "I believe, help my unbelief." Amen. What he was saying was, "I know you can, and I believe you, but there's also that unbelief in me, and I'm just going to admit it to you. I'm just going to be real with you." You see, real recognizes real. Deep goes to deep. Right? If you're going to be real with God, he'll be real with you. Right? We don't need sugar-coated Christianity because that stuff's fake and that won't get you through the night. That won't get you through the trial. You need stuff that's real. You need stuff that's living, that's active, which is what the Word of God is meant to be. Amen? Amen. Okay, excellent. You feel me? Yeah! All right. Now, can we go to Luke 10:2? Whoop. Got it up there. "He was saying to them, 'The harvest is abundant, for there are many who need to hear the good news about salvation. But the workers, those available to proclaim the message of salvation, are few. Therefore, prayerfully ask the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his harvest.'" You see, not only do we have to have a legacy of faith, we have to have a legacy of healing, right? If you're sick here today, and I'd heard some coughs, I was sick, right? God wants to heal you. Do you realize that your body is designed to be healed? You're not supposed to live in sickness, right? God wants to heal you. And not only that, guys, we're called to go out into the world and to heal the sick and lay hands on the sick. Because guess what? God gives evidence. He backs up who he is. He gives the proofs in the pudding, right? He gives the evidence. There will be miracles that take place. So, look at verses 8 through 9. "Whenever you go into a city and they welcome you, eat what is set before you, and heal those in it who are sick, authenticating your message, and say to them, the kingdom of God has come near you. He wants to give you a legacy of healing. Amen. Woo! Isaiah 53:5. Look at this. This is a promise. This is a promise. Isaiah, the prophet Isaiah, wrote this years and years and years and years and years in advance, prophesying, foretelling about Christ. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was crushed in our wickedness, our sin, our injustice, our wrongdoing. The punishment required for our well-being fell on him, and by his stripes and wounds, we are healed. Give him a hand. Amen. We're healed. You're healed. He also wants to give you a legacy. Don't miss this, church. A legacy of power and dominion. You see, this is so incredible, right? This is so powerful that if you have a revelation of this, it changes your whole entire outlook. It changes uncertainty into certainty. It changes the darkness into light. When you understand your God-given and God-bought identity, you start to walk in the authority of God, in the power of God, in the dominion of God. Amen. Amen. So, let everybody look at Ephesians 1, 21 through 23. Let's see if I can turn there quick. Woo! Far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, whether angelic or human, and far above every name that is named, above every title that can be conferred, not only in this age and world, but also in the one to come. Don't miss this. And he put all things in every realm in subjection under Christ's feet and appointed him as supreme and authoritative head over all things in the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills and completes all things in all believers. That means all things have been placed underneath your feet, church. You have power and you have dominion in the name of Jesus. Do you understand? There's nothing that the enemy can throw at you that Jesus hasn't carried to the cross and hasn't dealt with. Not only does he want to give you a legacy of power, he wants to give you a legacy of freedom. He wants to give you a legacy of freedom. Look at 2 Corinthians 3:16 through 8. Right? Whoop. But whenever a person turns in repentance and faith to the Lord, the veil is taken away. Thank God the veil is taken away. Amen. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty, which is emancipation from bondage and true freedom. Amen. And we all with unveiled face continually, seeing as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are progressively being transformed into his image from one degree of glory to even more glory, which comes from the Lord who is the Spirit. God is so good. He's so good. You see, he wants you to have a vision and a mission, a legacy of faith, healing, power, and dominion and freedom. Now, I've been talking about, you know, vision. What is vision? Mission. I want to define it. I want to really, really, really color in, you know, the blank areas. The answer that vision and mission provide in our lives, right? Vision is what we are building and driving towards in the future, right? Is what we're building towards. And in 2 Timothy 2:4, it says that no soldier in active service gets entangled in the ordinary business affairs of civilian life. He avoids them so that he may please the one who enlisted him to serve. When you have a vision, when you keep your eyes focused on where you're going, it's hard to get distracted. When you get distracted, you start to swerve. You remember when you started to learn how to drive? Do you ever take your eyes off the road and start looking at something and you realize that you're no longer in the middle of your lane? You're now swerving around, right? You see, there's a story. Everybody knows it, right? It's about Peter. He stepped from the ship into the sea and he had his eyes on Jesus, right? What happened when he took his eyes off the Lord? Began to sink. You know, Peter gets such a bad rap, but I mean, the reality is, I don't think too many people would be like, call me out into the water, right? Like step from the ship into the sea, right? That was bravery, that was boldness, right? And that's what God wants to do for you. But when we take our eyes off of who we're supposed to be looking at, that's when we get distracted. You see, a soldier doesn't get involved in civilian affairs. He's on mission and he's on vision, right? Amen? So, I'm here to tell you that guess what? There's positive vision, but let me tell you, there's negative vision. There's negative vision that people have spoken over you. Do you realize that? Sometimes there is long-lasting generational effects that has happened because somebody has accepted a negative vision that somebody has spoken over them. That's why the power of the tongue is so important, church. That's why you have to make sure the words that are coming out of here are God-honoring and God-fearing, and also, too, in submission to the Holy Spirit. Because you can speak death over somebody, and it will result. You can speak life over somebody, and it will result, too. Right? There is a lot of issues that people have because of negative things that have been spoken, right? Some people have a negative disposition because they have accepted the input of a negative vision over their life, right? Pastor Jeff's sermon, he talked about how, you know, the devil roams around seeking whom he may devour, right? A lot of times people give permission to the devil to devour them. And it's because they've heard things from their mom, maybe from their dad, maybe from their family, you'll be no good. You'll never do this. You'll always be this. You're never going to X, Y, Z. It'll go on and on and on. Now it's up to you whether you're going to accept that or deny that. Because when you stand on the promises of God and you have the vision and the mission that He has set before you, you can say, nope, return to sender. Nope, return to center. Amen. Give him a round of applause. He is so good, is he not? So, let's look. Let's continue to read, right? Acts 2:25. Get this, church. For David says of him, which is talking about God, I saw the Lord constantly before me, for he is at my right hand, so that I will not be shaken from my state of security. The Lord is constantly before him. The Lord is constantly before him. You see, that's why it's so important that you spend time with the Lord. As I was doing research for this lesson, I got, you know, I was like looking through some stuff and some material, and there was statistics where it was like, if you want to go from being like, just in a regular relationship, right? You want to go from being like a friend or acquaintance to a friend, it takes this many hours. This many hours to become a close friend. It takes this many hours to become best friends, XYZ, right? And then I was like, started thinking, I'm like, hey, how many hours do we like spend in church a year, right? And then I was like, started to divide that by how many hours are in the year in total, right? It's less than like 10%. It's a very small amount of time if you come every single Sunday that you're in church. So that's why it's so important to get in His Word. That's why it's so important to spend time with our Savior, with our Master. Because if we have Him before us, He can lead and guide us when we're in the middle of hell. Right? He will give you joy when there's very negative bad things happening. Right? Joy is not happiness. It is more powerful than that. So, mission, right? I told you about vision. I'm telling you about mission now. Mission gives us our purpose and calling. It answers the why do we exist. Hello. Do you understand? I've seen so many hurting people today because they don't know what their purpose is. Purposelessness leads to things like self-destruction. Amen. You see, I had a coworker a while back, and I remember going into work one day, and he told me, he's like, you know, I'm here for not a long time, so I'm going to be here for a good time. That was like his personal mission, you know, and that's the words he lived by, and that's what he did. You know, there's scripture that kind of also supports that because that isn't a new idea. It says, let's eat, drink, and be merry because tomorrow we die. You see, when you take your eyes off of eternity and you start looking at the here and now, you get off of mission. You lose the vision, you get off mission. You see, all these things answers. It answers why we are and why we are doing what we're doing versus just being. There's a lot of people just that are just existing. We're here for a reason. We're here for a reason. You're here for a reason. You're not an accident. God doesn't make junk. You're not an accident. You weren't just your mom and your dad coming together. God ordained you to be here. He ordained you to be here. He ordained you to be in the neighborhood that you're in. He ordained you to be in the school that you're in. He ordained you to be right here right now on this Sunday. You've been doing anything else, but you're here. You are not an accident. There is a divine hand and a divine calling on your life. But you have to accept that calling. You have to think about that and start trying to seek it and fulfill it. Amen? So, let's go to Exodus 3:8. I want to show you guys this. I love this so much. So, what this is basically God talking to Moses. He calls Moses out from shepherding, which, by the way, that wasn't an accident. That was training. You see, Moses, God had his hand on him all of his life, right? Have you ever noticed that in history and in scripture, whenever God is trying to do something in the next generation, that there is, there's a lot of death in infants. There's infanticide, there's abortion, there's things. You see, it happened in Jesus' day. It also happened in Moses' day. Moses' parents for 3 months kept him hidden and then put him in a basket of reeds and put him onto the river, on the Nile River, in faith, in hoping that their baby would survive. Guess where he landed? He landed in the lap of Pharaoh's daughter. And his mom got to raise him. God did that on purpose because he had to learn the customs and the religion and the systems of the Egyptians. What might seem like an accident or might seem like really weird, God can use in your story if you just let him. Amen. Moses was shepherding. In those 40 years, he learned how to take care of sheep that go astray, how to guide large flocks across land in treacherous terrain? How to protect the flocks? Sheep are kind of dumb. They're very dumb. It's good job training for what comes next. Now, God shows up in a burning bush. And this is what he does. This is so beautiful. In Exodus 3:8, this is God. So I have come down to rescue them from the hand and the power of the Egyptians and to bring them up from the land to a land that is good and spacious, to a land flowing with milk and honey, a land of plenty, to the place of the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Perizzite, the Hivite, and the Jebusite. Do you realize what this is right here? This is God casting vision. This is him casting vision. Hey, this is where we're going, right? This is the end result. This is where I'm going to take you, right? Now, let's jump just one verse or two verses to verse 10. Therefore, come now, and I will send you to Pharaoh, and then bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. This is the mission. God cast vision and he cast mission to Moses. He gave mission to his life. He gave purpose to his life. Now, you would think that if God showed up in a burning bush, right, to us, we'd be like, yes, Lord. Nope. Moses, I find this so funny as I'm reading, right? Moses starts to be like, not me. I don't want to do that, right? He starts coming up with excuses. And basically, as I was reading through, these excuses include, one, who am I that I should? You see, a lot of us, when we have a mission or vision from God, the first thing that we probably ask ourselves is, who am I that I should do that? I have skeletons in my closet. I have a past. Right? And that's taking your eyes off of the vision and taking it on and putting on me, right? The second thing he says is, well, who sent me? What's your name? Right? What is his name? God says, I'm the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. You're like, well, who should I say sent me? And he says, I am. Amen. The third thing, this is very relatable. What if they don't believe me or take me seriously? Whenever I'm talking to people, and even like, I guess it's like a fear, not even a fear, it's like a thing that's like deep where you're like, I need to talk to somebody about the Lord. And then you're like, that little thing where it's just like, man, what if they don't believe me? They're going to look at me like I'm crazy. God's response to Moses is, I will prove that I am with you. And I am with you always. Amen? Amen? He is with you always. He will prove that he is with you. The fourth thing he says is, I am not a man of eloquent speech. You realize that most people would rather die than speak publicly? Imagine Moses, who has been in the wilderness, like been out, been shepherding. He has a wife. He has two kids. He's out doing all this. He's out in the woods, right? Out in the wilderness. And then God shows up. It's like, you need to go to the highest form of government and you need to talk to the man in charge. And you need to tell him, let my people go. Yeah, I would be like, And this last one, this last thing that he says to God, kind of blows my mind, is send the message by someone else. He just flat out refuses. He's like, nope. look at God's response here. Exodus 4:14-17. Then the anger of the Lord was kindled and burned against Moses. He said, "Is there not your brother, Aaron, the Levite? I know that he speaks fluently. Also, he is coming out to meet you. And when he sees you, he'll be overjoyed." Right? "You must speak to him and put the words in his mouth. I will be with your mouth and with his mouth, and I will teach you what you are to do." I will teach you what you are to do. If you're ever in a place where you're like, "I don't know what to do," God will teach you what to do. He will always provide the words that you're supposed to use. You know, something incredible, right? Later on in Scripture, the disciples, after Jesus ascended into heaven, right? The disciples were preaching about Jesus out in the public, and it offended a bunch of people. Like, it offended a bunch of the Jewish people. So what they did is they arrested them and took them before the Sanhedrin. They took them before their courts, and they were trying to get them to shut up. And basically, they stood up and delivered a speech about who they are and about who Jesus is and about what he wants to do. It says that all of the people, all the Sanhedrin, marveled because they were fishermen. They were average people, but yet they realized because of their countenance, because of the way that they were speaking, they had been with Jesus. If you've been with Jesus, he wants to give you speech. He wants to give you words. He wants to give you the right things to say. And it says later on in Scripture as well, don't prepare your words. The Holy Spirit will come out of you. He'll come out of you. Amen? Don't worry about your words, because guess what? God is here. That is a miracle in and of itself, that he wants to speak through you. Guys, there's people that I'm not speaking negatively, amen, but there's people that might never, or don't ever want to come to church. You are to bring the church to them. Let's continue reading. "Moreover, he shall speak for you to the people. He will act as a mouthpiece for you. And you will be as God to him, telling him what I say to you." Get this, church. Look at this. 17. "You shall take in your hand the staff with which you shall perform the signs and miracles which prove I sent you." You shall. You shall. God is saying you shall. Even when you're like, God said, you shall. God is so good. Questions to answers. That is what vision and mission provide. Right? What is our mission and vision? So now we have to ask, what is the biblical form of vision and mission for the church? For our church, right? I'm here to tell you, it is so important to be here in assembly today. And not just today, but every chance that you can get. Because guess what? Pastor Jeff, he gives fresh vision of where God is taking us. He gives the mission every single Sunday. But if you're not here, if you're not listening, how can you know that? We have to be here. We have to be tuning our hearts in. There is a prayer, and I probably told you this story multiple times, but it stuck with me. I remember being in class one time at college, and the professor got up, and he would say this phrase constantly when he prayed, but he said, "Lord, knit our hearts together. Knit our hearts together so that what hurts your heart hurts mine." Look at Hebrews 10:23-25. You see, part of what the vision and mission is for church, for the body of Christ, is connection. You see, do you want to know why depression and suicide and all of that rose during COVID? It's because we are lacking connection. We are separated, right? We're supposed to come together and be a family. Amen? When there's connection, there's things like discipleship. I'm going to get into that a little bit. But let's read Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Let us seize and hold tightly the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is reliable and trustworthy and faithful to his word. And let us consider thoughtfully how we may encourage one another to love and to do good deeds. Amen. And 25, not forsaking our meeting together as believers for worship and instruction, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another and all the more faithfully as you see the day of Christ's return approaching. And we do see his day of his return approaching. Amen. We're supposed to be together. We're supposed to be encouraging one another. We're supposed to be sharpening one another. It says, iron sharpens iron. So does the countenance of one man sharpen another. How can you be sharpened if you're not in assembly? You see, I've heard some people say, right, and you can have community. You can have communion with God out in the wilderness, out in the woods. That is amazing. But it's not supposed to be every Sunday. We're supposed to be together. If it is a sign of maturity in a believer to want to be a part of his body. Amen. Amen. The next thing is discipleship, which I was starting to get into, getting ahead of myself, which I often do. It's okay. discipleship is more than a transfer of information. Discipleship is doing life together. I want you to think, when Jesus called the disciples, they're fishermen. They had jobs. They had stuff. They had lives that was going on. And he came up to them. He said, follow me. And what do? They like literally stop what they were doing and they follow Jesus. For 3 years of his ministry, that's all they did. They followed Jesus. They did life together. They ate together. They broke bread. They watched and they saw the hand of God move here on earth. Discipleship is so important, church, because in Luke 9:23 it says this, and he was saying to them, if anyone wishes to follow me as my disciple, he must deny himself, which is set aside selfish interest, and take up his cross daily. Doesn't say every Sunday, it says daily. Right? Expressing a willingness to endure whatever may come and follow me, believing in me, conforming to my example and living, and if need be, suffering or perhaps dying because of faith in me. Right? Discipleship is transformative. When we're discipled by the Lord, when we're discipled in his church, when we do life together, it's transformative because we have connection, we have discipleship, and guess what? The last part, we have doing. Because when we're the hands and feet of Jesus, we go out and we're obedient and we do the things that need to be done. Matthew 28, 16 through 20. What is this? This is the great co-mission. There's a co-mission. It says, now the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain which Jesus had designated. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted that it was really him. You see, Jesus was crucified. He was resurrected. And he was about to ascend into heaven. And this is what he said. Jesus came up to him and said, all authority, all power of absolute rule in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations. Help the people learn of me, believe in me, and obey my words, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, remaining with you perpetually, regardless of circumstance, and on every occasion, even to the end of the age. Yes, sir. So, vision and mission does this thing. It's radical. It makes you lead your life with intention. When you have intentionality, right, it makes you powerful regardless of circumstance. Regardless of what's going on. Regardless of the resistance that you're seeing. When I was listening to your sermon again, Pastor Jeff, there was a verse that stuck out like so, like it like rang like a bell that could not be unrung. It was 2 Corinthians 4:17-8. For a momentary light distress. God is so powerful that he calls everything that we go through in this life, no matter how horrible it is, light distress. That is how good God is and how powerful he is. Light distress in this passing trouble is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, a fullness beyond all measure, surpassing all comparisons, a transcendent splendor and an endless blessedness. So we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are unseen. For the things which are visible are temporal, just brief and fleeting. But the things which are invisible are everlasting and imperishable. Let me ask you this before we go. I know that this life can be crazy at times. I know that it can be uncertain. I don't know what this next year is going to hold. I don't have a magic ball that I can look into and tell you what's going on. But you know what? I know the person that's already there. Amen. He's Alpha. He's Omega. He's beginning and end. Alpha, Omega, and every letter in between. He is already there. And he is calling us forward. Don't let anything, don't any light distress hold you back. People get so affected by the things that have gone on in the past that they miss out on their future. There's a reason that your windshield is bigger than your rearview mirror. It's true. It's so true. Amen. What old hurts and unforgiveness, which leads to bitterness, have we been harboring that's been robbing us from God's best? We have to, like what Pastor Jeff said last Sunday, we need to take a personal inventory. What things have been robbing us from God's best? Maybe it's distractions. Maybe it's fear. Maybe it's a negative mindset. Maybe it's debt. I want to say that. Maybe God's calling you out of debt this year. There's so many money fights and fights that happen and go on and stress that goes on because of that, that you miss out on God's blessings. Right? God is calling you to freedom. He wants you to have a legacy of freedom. Not bondage. God is so good. He is so good. I want you guys to check this verse out. This is my last closing scripture before we have communion. I want you guys to see this. I'm a visual person. I'm such a visual person. I want you guys to see this. Please see this. I want you guys to be inspired to go home, to have that quiet time, to ask God, Lord, what is your vision and mission for my life individually? Look at this. Look at Ephesians 3:19-21. and that you may come to know practically through personal experience the love of Christ, which far surpasses mere knowledge without experience, and that you may be filled up throughout your being to all the fullness of God, so that you may have the richest experience of God's presence in your lives, completely filled and flooded with God Himself. That's what God wants for you. He wants to flood you with His power. He wants to flood you with His goodness. That is how good God is. And that's what He wants for you. That's His vision for you. But if you don't get on mission, you don't stay on point, how can that be unless you submit? This is what God is wanting for you. Let's continue. Now to Him who is able to carry out His purpose. And He is able to carry out. He is. He is faithful. To do super abundantly. I'm going to say that again. Super abundantly. More than all that we dare ask or think. Infinitely beyond our greatest prayers, hopes, or dreams. According to His power that is at work within us. To Him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations forever and ever. Amen. I love you guys so much. Thank you. Thank you for that. My hope and my prayer for each and every one of you is to get just a piece, even just a piece of this message. Just a piece. Grab a piece. You know, the woman with the issue of blood, she didn't fully grab a hold of Jesus. She just got a piece of His garment. Just the hem. Just a little bit. But that was enough to heal her. That's how powerful Jesus is. That's how powerful God is. Amen? Just grab a piece. We're here to have union and community with God. Amen.